stuck on quarantine, trying to figure out how to get some rifle time in, we're going to talk about dry fire this week on Mail Call Mondays. Welcome to another Mail Call Mondays, and this Monday we are going to talk about dry fire. And as you notice here, I am not in the studio. I'm actually sitting here in my living room. The kids are out of school. The dogs are wandering around. So there may be a little bit of chaos in the background, but we'll deal with it as we need to. So with the current state of things, there's a lot of limited travel, a lot of limited interaction, so a lot of ranges are closed down. Now, the state of things through most states here in the United States is gun stores are still open. So gun stores that have ranges inside of them may still be in operation, since most ranges, especially indoor ranges, if they have appropriate ventilation systems, then what the National Shooting Sports Foundation has said is there's a very minimal risk of disease transmission in those situations, because you do have to have positive ventilation to get all the lead vapor and smoke out of the range. If a range does not have good ventilation, you actually run a pretty high risk of accumulating lead poisoning over time. So having good ventilation is really, really an important thing on an indoor range. But a lot of indoor ranges, shooting a rifle like this is not really going to work out. And most of the outdoor ranges around here are closed, to include state parks. So you run into an issue on how do we keep our skills up if we're not going to be able to shoot for several weeks. Well, dry fire really should be a part of any precision rifle shooter's regular practice routine. And dry fire can be done indoors very easily. Now, there are a couple of considerations that we need to keep in mind. First of all, safety. We are actually violating one of the primary safety rules, which is never point a weapon at anything you don't intend to shoot. Because when we are dry firing, we are very often using targets that we don't intend to put a bullet through. Obviously, I'm sitting here in my living room. I don't intend to actually discharge a high-power rifle in my living room. So since we are doing things like these, there are other really, really, really important things. You notice I've got a chamber flag on my rifle right now while I was setting it up. So the first thing I need to do is pull my chamber flag. I need to, and I'm going to go ahead and completely remove the bolt for right now. I'm going to visually, which I can actually see daylight through the barrel and the chamber, visually and physically verify that there is no ammunition in the rifle. So I know absolutely positively there's no ammunition in it. Now, I am going to make sure that the rifle is not pointed at any living target. You never, ever, ever dry fire on a living target. I've actually seen some keyboard commandos say some really, really stupid things. But you should make sure that wherever you're sitting up, you're setting your dry fire set up so that no one can inadvertently walk between you and the target that you're using. So if you are dry firing through a window into a backyard, you need to make sure that it is your property. And ideally, you want whatever you are dry firing at your target to be something that would catch a bullet if for some reason there was an inadvertent discharge. So a large tree, a concrete wall, something that would catch the bullet from this rifle. So this is a 6.5 Creedmoor. If I'm shooting into a 2 or 3 foot diameter tree, that tree is going to catch the bullet. It's not going to allow the bullet to go through. Cinder block wall is generally going to prevent it from going through both sides of the cinder block. Brick walls, concrete walls, those kind of things are good at stopping bullets. Again, we take every step we possibly can to not have a negligent discharge, but then we go through and we make sure that we have a backup plan. Next, we're going to talk about ammunition. Now, you do not need snap caps to dry fire. This is a Remington 700. Most of the center fire actions that we use for competition, you can dry fire perfectly fine without any snap caps, anything at all, actually in the rifle. So you can just go ahead and run your bolt, drop the striker, run it again, and this is not going to cause any damage to the rifle at all. It's designed to run that way. Now, there are quite a few times when we are going to want to use snap caps. I've got A-Zoom snap caps in here. They are machined aluminum, and as you can see, they're anodized red, kind of this maroon color. There is no ammunition that I ever use that looks like this. So it's very easy for me to look at this, and I did load this right before we started this video. It's very easy for me to look at this and know that these are snap caps. Now, you want to make sure that you inspect each and every snap cap that goes into the magazine. You don't want to accidentally get distracted, pick up a magazine out of your bag that may have one or two live rounds in it, load snap caps on top of it, and not even think about it. So you make sure the magazine is empty, then go ahead and load your snap caps, and make sure that you look at each and every snap cap that you're loading into the magazine. Now, the reason that we may want to use snap caps is not to save wear and tear on the rifle, but it's to simulate the feel of the bolt when you're feeding a round into the chamber. So you can see right now, this bolt moves very, very easily. Now, if I insert a magazine in here, there's considerably more drag feeding that first cartridge that has all the other cartridges pushing up against it. So I had 10 snap caps loaded into that magazine. And this is another important thing. If you generally shoot with a 10-round magazine and you start the stage full, you may want to consider buying 10 snap caps to go in. That way, that first round that is in there has the same amount of drag as you normally would when you go ahead and drop that bolt on a stage. When you fire and eject, the cap is going to eject just like it normally would, which also will check function on the rifle to make sure that the rifle is ejecting cartridges properly. But again, it will give you that drag going back in. So if you're going to work rapid bolt manipulation drills, then running snap caps is a really good idea. I find that if I'm just working on trigger press, I don't run snap caps because it's a pain in the butt to go pick up those snap caps as they roll all over the floor and then reload them. And it also saves wear and tear on the snap caps. They are aluminum. They do get chewed up eventually. But if I am running a rapid bolt manipulation drill or practicing loading the rifle and getting into position, snap caps are a really important thing. The next thing that we really want to talk about here is, how do we set up on targets? This is a 5 to 30 power rifle scope. So we've got quite a bit of magnification here. My yard is not that big. I live in the city, so I'm looking out a window into my backyard. Again, I do have a solid backstop that would prevent a bullet from going through. So I don't have a lot of distance to dial this guy in. So for this, you can use a reduced size target. Place it out there, and then you're going to want to make sure that you have parallax that can go down pretty far on your scope, and more than likely you're going to have to run at a lower magnification than you would like. This is a compromise. Obviously, I would like to be able to run at the same magnification I would for a match, but we have to make do with what we have. So very often you're going to have to run a lower magnification, and you're going to have to get that parallax dialed in. Thankfully, this scope allows me to dial parallax down to 30. That does not allow me to get a crisp sight picture when I'm only working with about 20 yards, but it still will allow us to get the job done for what we're trying here. Now, I do need to go ahead and focus on the reticle. The target is going to be a little bit blurry, but as long as I keep my eye focused on the reticle, I can get some good work done. Bunch of other things that we can do with the setup that we have here. You notice that I have a quiver on the side here. So it's very easy to take my cartridges and load them in the quiver. And then I can practice stripping these guys from the quiver and throwing them in to the loading port. Obviously, I'd need to put an empty magazine in if I was going to do that. But that is another thing I can practice. I'm set up here on a tripod. This is a Really Right Stuff tripod, and it is one of their Arca clamps. Working on the tripod actually works out really well for this. I've neglected working off the tripod for a while. The Really Right Stuff tripod allows me to get a really wide base and really get the rifle stable on the tripod. So I do have a lot of options to go ahead and work on this. You can also work on transitioning from target to target, so you can put out several different targets to dry fire on in the yard, and then work on actually transitioning the rifle from one target to the next target. You can work on dialing. It's not exactly ideal because you won't know if you hit, but if you set up reduced size targets and you imagine that they are at different ranges, then you can practice transitioning from one target to the next target, dialing your dope on, getting back into position, firing, and cycling the bolt. So there is really a lot that you can do, even though you're trapped inside, even though you are not allowed to actually go out to a regular rifle range and get some work done. So I'm kind of stuck in the same situation you guys are in, where I need to find some ways to keep my training up while I'm indoors. So hopefully that gives you a couple ideas with the long guns, what we can do, how we can still go. Now, what I would suggest is when you go into a dry fire training session, pick one skill. Just decide I'm going to work on this one skill today. Set up your drills to run that one skill. You can set up drills to work off of a chair as a barricade. You can set up working off the tripod. You can set up working prone. You can practice just starting from standing position, mag out, bolt back like we normally do, dropping into the prone, getting the gun up and running, and burning through 10 shots. So there's a ton of stuff you can do. But I recommend you pick one thing, work that session on that one thing, keep maximum focus on what you are doing for that one skill, and then stop and put things away. With dry fire, first of all, we don't want to lose our focus because with our focus, we're getting the most we possibly can out of the drill. Secondly, with dry fire, it is very important that we not stop things, walk away from the gun, come back, and pick up where they were. While I'm here in front of this gun, I've cleared it. I've made sure that I have no live ammo in the gun. I know what the condition of the gun is. If I stop and walk away and then come back, I cannot be sure what the condition of the gun was. So then, for safety's sake, I need to go back through, clear everything out, take all of the cartridges back out of my magazine, reload the magazine, and get back into it. So if something prevents you from flowing through your practice routine and causes you to break it, you have to go take a phone call, have to go see what the kids are doing, you have to go let the dogs in, something like that, then you really need to go back through and do those safety checks again. That's very, very important. Most of the time where you have a negligent discharge, you hear somebody say, well, I thought the gun was unloaded. I don't think the gun is unloaded. Make sure that it's unloaded. So safety really is paramount when we do this stuff. We don't want to cause greater problems. So once you get done with your routine, clear everything out, take your snap caps, your practice ammo, and store them completely separate from your live ammo. Make sure you put them somewhere you can locate them, but store them separate from your live ammo. You just really don't want that stuff mixed up back and forth. And again, the whole snap cap thing, these are really expensive. These are actually 6mm snap caps. Even though this is a 6.5 Creedmoor rifle, I went ahead and bought the 6mm caps because they work in the 6.5. And later on, if I get a 6mm Creedmoor, they will work in the 6mm Creedmoor. With 308s, the same kind of thing applies. You can get 243 snap caps that are going to work in 243, 260, and 308. So if you go with the smaller ones, they will work with larger ones. There are quite a few other calibers out there that are cross-compatible like that. But if you get the smaller tip, then they work in other things. You can use empty cartridges or cartridges that you have loaded with no powder and no primer as snap caps to give you that same drag out of the magazine. If you are running cartridges with no bullet in them, then very often you'll hang up on the feed lips and you'll cause all kinds of malfunctions. If you are running cartridges that you have put a bullet in, with no powder and no primer. I would suggest that you make sure you use a bullet that you do not normally use in your loaded ammunition. So if, for instance, you always shoot ELDMs that have the red tip on them, then I would suggest looking at something like the Sierra tipped Match Kings that have green tips. Maybe go borrow some old soft tips from some of your hunting buddies and see if you can load those up. Dinah is now sick of this and wants some attention. Sit. Sit. Down. Down. That's going to do it for this Mail Call Mondays. If you guys have any questions or comments over anything we've covered, leave them in the comment section down below or send them to us on Facebook or Twitter. I would love to hear how you guys are making do with the ranges being closed and most of the competitions being shut down. So please drop your comment down below. If you guys have liked the video, please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if you want to know how to support the videos that you know and love, please check us out over on Patreon. We would love to have your support. And until next time, get out and shoot.